The Star of Kazan by Eva Ibbotson. Read by Ruth Jones. Ellie had gone into the church because of her feet. This is not the best reason for going into a church, but Ellie was plump and middle-aged, and her feet were hurting her. It was a beautiful, sunny day in June, and Ellie and her friend Sigrid had set out early from Vienna in the little train which took them to the mountains, so that they could climb up to the top of a peak called the Dorfelspitze. They went to the mountains on the last Sunday of every month, which was their day off, changing their aprons for dirndls and filling their rucksacks with salami sandwiches and slices of plum cake, so that when they got to the top, they could admire the view without getting hungry. It was how they refreshed their souls after the hard work they did all week, cleaning and cooking and shopping and scrubbing for the professors who employed them. Ellie was the cook and Sigrid was the housemaid, and they had been friends for many years. But on this particular Sunday, Ellie was wearing new boots, which is a silly thing to do when you're going on a long excursion. They were about halfway up the mountain when they came to a flower-filled meadow, and on the far side of it, standing quite by itself, a small white church with an onion dome. Ellie stopped.
"You know, Sigrid, I think I'd like to say a prayer for my mother. I had a dream about her last night. Why don't you go on and I'll catch you up?"
Sigrid snorted.
"I told you not to wear new boots."
But she agreed to go ahead slowly, and Ellie crossed the wooden bridge over a little stream and went into the church. It was a lovely church, one of those places which look as though God might be about to give a marvellous party. There was a painted ceiling full of angels and golden stars. Ellie slipped into a pew and loosened her shoelaces. She said a prayer for her mother who'd passed on many years ago and closed her eyes. She only slept for a few minutes. When she woke, the church was still empty, but she thought she'd been woken by a noise of some sort. Then, peering over the edge of the pew, she saw lying on the crimson carpet at the base of the pulpit a parcel. And now, to Ellie's amazement, the parcel made a noise, a small, mewing noise. A kitten? A puppy? Ellie did up her shoelaces and went over to look.
"Oh, dear," said Ellie. "Oh, dear, dear, dear."
Sigrid had admired the view. She'd breathed deeply several times, but there was still no sign of Ellie. Sigrid was annoyed. When you're on top of a mountain admiring a view, you want somebody to do it with. She waited a while longer, then she packed the rucksack and made her way back down the rocky slope till she came to the meadow with a little church. Ellie was still inside, sitting in the front pew, but she was holding something and she looked bewildered.
"Someone left this," she said.
Ellie pushed back the edge of the shawl and Sigrid bent down to look.
"Good heavens!"
The baby was very, very young. Not more than a few days old, but it was quite amazingly alive. Warmth came from it. It steamed like a fresh-baked loaf. Its legs worked under the shawl, and when Sigrid stretched out a bony forefinger to touch its cheek, it opened its eyes, and there, gazing up at them, was a person.
"There was a note pinned to her shawl," said Ellie.
On a piece of paper, smudged with tears, were the words,
"Please be good to my little daughter and take her to Vienna, to the nuns."
"What are we going to do?" asked Sigrid. Neither she nor Ellie were married. They knew nothing about babies.
"Take her to Vienna, to the nuns, like it says in the note."
In the little village of Petelsdorf, no one knew anything about a baby. No one had seen anyone go into the church.
"She'll have come up from the other side over the pass,